What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
A new federal lawsuit is accusing top universities of price fixing to limit student financial aid.
It certainly reopens or accelerates that discussion about what is fair, what is right, what is the role of an admissions officer or financial aid officer in determining who gets in and why.
And why the SEC is pushing for more transparency in how private companies raise money. Plus, the latest online game craze has wordsmiths strategizing. It's Monday, January 10th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Securities and Exchange Commission is preparing to require more transparency from private companies over concerns about how they raise money. Plans include requiring routine disclosures of information about the company's finances and operations, and tightening the qualifications for investors to access private markets. That's according to sources and a semi-annual rulemaking agenda. Private capital markets have become a popular way for U.S. companies to access funding from institutions and wealthy individuals without the regulatory burdens of going public. The number of so-called unicorns, or private companies valued at $1 billion or more, has continued to grow even amid a recent boom in IPO offerings. U.S. COVID-19 cases are on track to triple the record set a year ago, when the U.S. saw more than 250,000 cases a day. The seven-day average for newly reported cases topped 700,000 for the first time on Saturday, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. In an interview with our sister podcast, The Journal, Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla told host Kate Linebaugh that the company is assessing whether an Omicron-specific vaccine will be needed to combat the variant. 3 years into the pandemic, he says it's hard to predict when life might return to something approximating normal.
Do you think we'll be able to eliminate COVID?
In the form that COVID will not exist, no one will be getting sick as we did with polio. I don't see that happening even in 10 years, to be frank. The virus has been known for creating a lot of variants or keeps changing. And we know that natural infection, as well as vaccination, they don't produce durable protection.
We have more of this conversation on today's episode of the Journal podcast. According to tracking site FlightAware, some 775 flights to, from, or within the U.S. were canceled today, a slight slowdown after 2 weeks of more than 1,000 cancellations a day. Airline staffing shortages due to Omicron have been compounded by severe weather in recent weeks, saddling the nation's air carriers. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Richard Clarida has announced his resignation from the central bank. It follows questionable financial actions he made in February 2020, which he says were part of a pre-planned portfolio rebalancing. A professor of economics at Columbia University, Clarida won Senate confirmation in September 2018. His term on the board was set to expire at the end of this month. Fed Chair Jerome Powell's confirmation hearing with the Senate is scheduled for tomorrow. A major merger in the video game industry, Take-Two Interactive, the maker of the video game Grand Theft Auto, has agreed to buy Words with Friends maker Zynga in a nearly $11 billion deal. Take-Two says the deal will strengthen its mobile gaming position, which has been the fastest-growing segment of the industry in recent years. The two companies have a combined user base of more than 1 billion. Zynga's stock price rose 40% from Friday's close on the news, while Take-Two's fell 13%. Meanwhile, in the broader market, tech shares dragged the major indexes down, but a late-day rally led to a mixed close. The Nasdaq erased earlier losses and ended the day up about 7 points. The Dow dropped more than 160 points, or 0.5%, and the S&P 500 lost 0.1%. Coming up, why a slew of top U.S. universities are being accused of colluding to limit student aid.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
A new federal lawsuit is accusing 16 universities of price fixing and unfairly limiting financial aid to students. The schools include Ivies such as Yale, Columbia, and Dartmouth, as well as top-tier schools like Georgetown, MIT, and Caltech. Lawyers say more than 170,000 former undergrad students who received partial financial aid at the schools going back 18 years could be eligible to join the suit as plaintiffs. It's the latest challenge to longstanding college admissions practices. Joining me now with more on this Wall Street Journal exclusive is higher education reporter Melissa Korn. Hi, Melissa. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So, Melissa, can you start by getting into the details of this lawsuit? What exactly is alleged here?
Sure. So five former students at some of these 16 universities are claiming that their schools illegally colluded to limit price competition. So they worked together to set their financial aid formulas for figuring out how much financial need an applicant or student has, and that they, under current law, were not actually allowed to have done so.
Tell us a little bit about that law. This was passed in 1994 by Congress, and it exempted some schools from antitrust violations. Could you explain how that comes into play here?
Yeah, so right, in order to really understand the suit, you have to kind of get a bit of a history lesson. So I would even go back a little bit further to 1991, when the Justice Department charged the eight Ivy League schools and MIT with anti-competitive behavior. At the time, that group of schools met to discuss their financial aid offers for individual students who had gotten into more than one school, so that they kind of didn't want to have a bidding war on sales, if you will, on discounts. So the Justice Department said that that was a violation of antitrust laws, and they had consent decrees and or settled with the government. And out of that came this 1994 law, which said that schools cannot work together to talk about financial aid unless they are fully need blind, meaning they admit students based on their ability rather than their ability to pay. And out of that antitrust exemption came this group of schools known as the 568 Presidents Group. And they meet a couple times a year generally to talk about their calculations, how exactly they'll determine what someone's financial need is, and therefore how much to charge them.
Melissa, can you put these pieces together for us? What does this law have to do with the lawsuit and what it's alleging? How does it tie back into financial aid?
This law said, you know, if you follow these rules, then you can work with other schools on your financial aid formulas. And this lawsuit is saying that the schools aren't following the rules. They're not fully need blind, is the main allegation. So lawyers say, at least some of them, consider financial need by giving an admission edge to students of donors, by looking at finances when they're admitting people off the wait lists, and a few other kind of ways in which they're not being fully need blind. So that's the allegation, that they're not meeting all of the criteria needed to get that antitrust exemption.
Lawyers have said 170,000 people could be impacted by this. That's a huge number. Can you tell us who would be in that group that the lawyers are talking about?
So the potential class would include graduates of these schools that are named in the suit, who were at the school and received partial financial aid for going back almost 20 years. So for some schools, they've been part of that collaborative, or as the lawyers would say, colluding group of schools going back to the early 2000s. Other schools kind of went in and out of that group. It's for the periods that the schools were working with other institutions to determine their financial need calculations. And it's, you know, people who got some financial aid but didn't have all their costs covered. It's really hard to claim injury if school was entirely paid for.
And how are the 16 schools named in this lawsuit responding to the allegations?
A number of the schools said they don't comment on pending litigation. A few have given comments directly on this case. Yale said that their financial aid policies are completely compliant with all applicable laws. Caltech said the school has confidence in its aid practices. And a Brown spokesman said the complaint was without merit.
You talked a little bit about the precedent for lawsuits like this, but we've seen some even more recently where colleges and universities are accused of anti-competitive behavior, right?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, the Justice Department told an industry association, the National Association for College Admission Counseling, that they needed to rethink their essentially ethics guidelines to make sure that the behaviors of admissions officers still allowed for competition for students. So by all agreeing to have certain dates by which they'll kind of stop recruiting people, or no poaching or not favoring certain types of applicants, the admissions officers felt that that was, you know, kind of a good thing to do. The Justice Department saw it as anti-competitive. So 2 years ago, the group agreed to allow more aggressive recruiting behaviors. We've also seen a lot of other challenges to the status quo in college admissions in the past few years, whether it's discussions about the role of race-conscious admissions, affirmative action, the use of standardized test scores, favoritism for legacies, the Varsity Blues scandal, got people talking about the fairness of admitting student athletes through kind of a separate track. So there's been a lot of discussion of and challenge to what we see as kind of the standard for selective college admissions.
And is this lawsuit, are observers seeing this as likely to push the needle even further in terms of challenging longstanding practices?
Yeah, it certainly reopens or accelerates that discussion about what is fair, what is right, what is the role of an admissions officer or financial aid officer in determining who gets in and why. So we don't yet know where this will go in courts, but it's certainly in the court of public opinion is raising a lot of questions.
That's Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Melissa Korn. Melissa, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And finally, if your social media timeline is filled with green and yellow squares, it's probably from the new online game Wordle. It's gone viral over the past year, now counting 1.8 million players, including celebrities like The Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon. The goal is to figure out the five-letter word of the day in six guesses or less. Might sound simple, but our reporter Joseph Pisani says fans are having hot debates over the best way to solve the puzzle.
When I was talking to people, they put in this first word, like everyone had their own strategy. The strategies were vowel-heavy words. They could knock out those letters quicker. And there's people who thought more consonants should be in it. I talked to somebody who did like a whole spreadsheet where he used a list of thousands of five-letter words. And then he put a spreadsheet together which told him which letters are more common. So his guesses can get to the answer faster. I asked the founder, the person who created the game, like what his strategy was, and he said he's the wrong person to ask, that he's not very good at playing it. So that was funny to me.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.